the walk of faith. And for the sake of those who may not have been here last week, I'm going to give a little review, and then we're going to hook this thing up, and then we're going to walk it out. Now, the Bible says in Genesis chapter 5, verse 21 through 25, it says that Enoch walked by faith. Say, walk by faith.
Walk by faith.
And the scripture says that he walked with God. So we discovered last week that the descriptive language, walking with God, is a biblical expression that means at least three things. It means intimate fellowship and closeness in relationship. And we said that it's possible to be a Christian, born again, and not be close to God. And we all want to be close to him. We said that walking with God also means to be going forward. That's why when Alicia said, let's sing about going forward, our walk with God should be always taking us forward. And then thirdly, the expression walking with God means a journey. It means to travel from one place to another. You know, we started a church in Wylam in Birmingham, and now we're moving towards starting a church in Columbus. It's a journey. Sometimes that journey is geographical. Sometimes the Spirit of God will move us from place to place. But sometimes that journey is spiritual. We start off in the body of Christ as babes in Christ. Then we should grow to become children. Pardon me. And then we should grow to be spiritually mature. So it's a journey. And we said that the result of walking with God is that you will have your own testimony and that you will live a life that's pleasing to God. And then we began to talk, and remember, all this is review. We began to talk about five keys to walking with God. And we covered just two of them last week. We said the first key is to agree with God through a surrendered will. To agree with God through a surrendered will. You know, this may sound strange to you, but it is possible to be born again and yet not have areas of your life that surrendered to him. Have areas. And for most people is a process. So we talked about surrendering to God's nature, to God's agenda, to God's plan, to God's pace. And then the second key to walking with God is a commitment to walk in the light of God's word. And I said two very important things last week. Number one, God does not expect us to be perfect as Christians. So we can relax. You know what I mean? We can relax. We don't have to feel uptight. We don't have to feel like, oh, I got to do everything right. We have a wonderful Father. How many of y'all born again? You have a wonderful Father. He's not up there measuring. You know, he doesn't have a little list of he's checking off and see whether or not you did this right or you didn't do that right. And then he'll cross it when you didn't do it right. And that's the way some Christians live their life. They live all tight. I don't live like that. You know, I discovered this about God, that if my heart is right, he will allow me to miss it. And he'll get me back on track. Amen. He won't throw me away. So God doesn't expect you to be perfect. Now watch this. And he knows you cannot undo your past. The past is past. That's why it's called the past. And you cannot undo your past. Now here's the key. What God expects from us is to walk in the light of the word as we become aware of it. Over this 30-some years that we've been pastoring, I have members walk up to me and say, oh, I wish I had heard that 20 years ago or 10 years ago. You know, life would have been so much better. Now, over our journey, because we're going to have a journey. We're going to really have a journey. Over our journey, you're going to come into some insights and wisdom that maybe you've not heard before. And you're going to say, man, I didn't know that. Listen, condemnation is never of the Spirit of God. Whenever you leave a service and you feel worse off than you when you came, it's because you received the message wrong. You understand? God simply wants us to receive the information as we become aware of it and then just make the adjustment. That's the kind of dad you got. That's the kind of Heavenly Father you got. Thank you. And sometimes I'll leave church and say, God, I'm so sorry. You know, I'm the pastor. I'll be saying, God, I'm so sorry. Forgive me. But that's all he won't. He just won't mean it to make the adjustment, to walk in the light as I come into the knowledge of it. Does that make sense to you? Now, all that was revealed. So let's look at the next three keys to walking and having a walk with God. The third key is very interesting. You must have a determination to develop a faith-based relationship with God. You must determine to have a faith-based relationship with God. Now, let's talk about a faith-based relationship. Hebrews chapter 11 says, but without faith it's impossible to please God, for he that cometh to God must believe that he what?
Is.
Let me ask you a question. How many of y'all ever seen God? I mean, you just saw him, went up and shook his hand and said, hey, God, how you doing? How many ever physically saw him? Let me see your hand. Okay. None of us. None of us. So the Bible says, he that comes to God must believe that he is. Okay? So a faith-based relationship begins with believing that this God that we cannot see exists. Got that? Now listen at this. A faith-based relationship is one that is built on what the Word says about God. Now listen carefully, and I'm going to give you some illustrations. A faith-based relationship is one that is built on what the Word says about God, and not our feelings, circumstances, experiences, or human opinion. Now let me ask a question, and we're going to look at some things. How many of you, let me find out how long you've been saved. How long you've been saved? How many have been saved 5 years? How many have been saved less than 5 years? Okay. How many have been saved at least 5 years? Okay. How many have been saved 10 years? Okay. How many have been saved 15 years? Oh. How many have been saved 20 years? Woo. How many say 30 years? Well, we got some veterans here. How many of them say 40 years? What? Look at there. Ain't nobody gonna say 50 years. Okay. Well, let me ask you, since most of you are veterans, you've been walking with God for a while now. I want you to be honest now. Don't play no games with me. How many of you have ever gotten mad at God? Stand if you've ever gotten mad at God. Stand if you've ever gotten mad at God. Okay. Keep standing. Okay. Now, I'm gonna ask the question. Yeah, I'm standing too now. So, listen, most of us here, at some point in our Christian experience, we got mad at God. Right? Now, be seated. Okay. I've gotten mad at God. In fact, when I first got saved, them early years of my salvation, I was getting mad at him all the time. I get mad at him and just quit him. I'm through with you. I'm through with the church. I'm through with all of it. I'm just through. You know, you ever seen a little kid? I saw a kid one time in McDonald's. He was a little brat too. Oh my goodness. His daddy was standing by him, and his daddy, I don't know whether daddy was handing him or something, he just took it and threw it down. I was standing in line at McDonald's, and the daddy reached down and got, I started to just kick the daddy, and I felt like kicking the daddy, and just, I'm thinking, because the little boy was just kicking, just had a little fit. And you know, you see the kids, they just fall all out. You know, my mama broke me up from falling out early. I mean, I don't think I fell out, but by one time, that was the end of that story. But spiritually, I used to fall out all the time. I get mad, stuff not going right, this not happening, I didn't get this prayer answered and stuff like that, things not going right. And I just got mad and I would just throw a fit and I'm mad at God, angry at God. And then one time, some of you have heard my story, but the rest of them hadn't heard my story, okay? How many remember that store? It was Goldboro's downtown. Y'all remember that store downtown? And they sell little items, jewelry, and different kinds of items and stuff like that. And since Mother's Day was Sunday, it was around Mother's Day. My wife went in there, and we were going to buy some. This was during our struggle days. I mean, one of those hardship days, okay? And we went in that store, and we were going to buy two things, one for her mother and one for my mother. And I picked up two little things. I think one of them was $6, the other one was $6, $12. And I brought it to Pete, and Pete said, "We can't get both of them." And when she said, now I'm a grown man now, I'm grown. This is about 30-some years ago though now, 30-some years ago. I'm a grown man, I'm a preacher, a grown man. When she said, "We cannot get both of them," the store full of folk. I burst out crying. Tears were lapping down my face. And folk were standing, and Pete was standing up there. She was so embarrassed. And I was trying to hide. And then I looked at the sales lady, and she was thinking, you know, and I didn't. I stumped out of that store, went and sat in the car, and I told God, "I can't believe it. I'm trying to live right, and I'm a preacher and all this, and I can't even afford $12 worth of stuff, and it just ain't right. And I just fell all out on the floor spiritually, and I just quit him, and I was just mad. I'm through with God. And I used to do that all the time. And God would just pick me up and hug me and stuff like that. But that day, in my spirit, it was like God was like, "I'm through with that. I'm just through with all this little falling out. Okay, I'm going to let you fall down and all that kind of stuff." And I realized that God was not going to feel sorry for me anymore because I had to grow up. Watch this. And I had to develop a faith-based relationship with him. Not a relationship that was based on how I felt. Because sometimes you don't feel like this or feel like that. And it couldn't be a relationship that was based on my circumstances, because circumstances change. You understand? It couldn't be a relationship based on other folk's opinions. What I'm experiencing at this time, because sometimes life has some highs and sometimes life has some lows in it. So he wanted me to have stability in my life and consistency in my life, and that I would never just get fall out mad with God ever again. So this is what I did, what I'm sharing with you today. I decided that I was going to go to the Word and find out what the Word said about God. And once I literally did this, and once I found out what the Word said about God, that's what's going to be how I was going to dictate my life. So let's look at some scriptures. And these are some of the various scriptures that I went through. Psalms 86, it says, "For thou art," what? Come on, read it with me. "Thou art
good.
And what?
Ready to forgive.
And what?
Plenteous
and mercy." Now look what the scripture says, that God is what? Good. He's what?
Ready to forgive.
So I ain't got to ever beg him.
Right?
And he's plenteous in mercy. Let's look at the next verse. Verse 8, it says, Psalm 145:8 says, "The Lord is what? Gracious." And what? Full of compassion. And what? Slow to anger. And what?
Great.
So I learned from that scripture that God is not trying to get me, see? He's not trying to hurt me. Because I'm going to base what I believe about God, what the scripture says, that he's good all the time. No matter what's happening in my life, I'm never going to change my opinion about God based on what I'm feeling and what I'm experiencing in my life. Now, let's look at what it says in Psalms and John chapter 14. John chapter 14. Oh, did I miss a verse? Okay, I missed that one. The Lord is what?
Good.
Lord is good. So I know he ain't prejudiced, right?
Right.
I know he doesn't love somebody more than he loved me. So if somebody get blessed with a house or blessed with a car or blessed with a promotion or blessed with a job, I don't have to feel like, well, he just loved them more than he loved me, because that scripture says he's good to how many folk?
All.
Let's look at what it says in John. Jesus said unto him, have I been so, verse 9, John 14, 9 says, Jesus said unto him, have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that has seen me has seen the what?
Father.
So if I want to see God and what God's like, I look to Jesus. Isn't that right? Now let's see what the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5. Let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with such things as you have. Verse 13, 5 says, for he has said, I will never leave thee, nor what?
Forsake thee.
How many ever felt like you were forsaken? Sure. Okay. But we're not going to base it where we are with God on how we feel. Because he said what? I will never leave thee, nor what?
Forsake
thee. Now let's look at what it says in James chapter 1, verse 17. This is so very important. Now I have a lot of consistency in my life. I'm a very consistent person. I'm not moody. I'm not a moody person. I'm never going to walk in here and not be walking like here like, oh, Lord, y'all pray for Pastor. Come on, lay your hands on me and pray for Pastor, okay? I'm consistent. I'm a very consistent person. But it's not because I don't have challenges in my life.
Right.
It has nothing to do with that. But I decided that I was going to have a faith-based relationship with him. So I was never going to allow my circumstances to color who he was or who he is to me. Now look at what the scripture says in James 1:17. It says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of life, with whom there is no what? Variableness, neither what? Now for me personally, I don't deal with people's opinions. I don't care whether it's a preacher. I don't care whether it's a politician. I don't care whether it's some celebrity. I don't deal in human opinions. So when you tell me something about God and it's not consistent with that, I'm totally ignoring you. Because the scripture says every good gift, watch this, every what?
Perfect gift.
Is from what? See, I'm not going to receive. You're not going to tell me God put some bad stuff on me to make me better. I don't receive that. See, I'm not going to receive that. That's human opinion. This scripture says every good gift, every perfect gift is from above, comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there's no variableness. He's not changing. He's not moody. One day he's saying this. One day he's saying something else.
Right.
He's not gray. He's not sometimes, you got black and gray and white. No, he's the same. He's consistent. If he said it, that's the way it is, okay? Now look at what it says in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3. It says, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his what? Jesus is the express image of the Father's person. One translation says, he's the flawless expression of the nature of God, flawless. So if you want to know what God is like, look at Jesus. Now, we're talking about, listen carefully, now this is going to help you in the days to come. We're talking about walking with God, walking with him. And I'm saying that the third key to walking with him is that you must have a faith-based relationship with him, where you allow the word to tell you what God is like, and not your feelings, not your experiences, not your circumstances, not human opinion. What this one said, now watch this. I don't want anything bad to happen in my life. This is just for illustration. So if something happens in my life, I'm not, watch this, listen carefully. I'm not going to bring God down to the level of human experience. And that's what people do all the time. So-and-so, sister so-and-so died, or Rem so-and-so died, or this one died, or this person backslid, or this person did this. So that's why I don't go to church, and that's why I don't believe in this Christianity stuff. They're bringing God down to the level of human experience. God is not good because good things are happening to you. And God is not bad because bad things are happening to you. Listen, what's going on in your life and God's nature are totally separate. Amen. Totally separate. Has nothing to do with God's nature. God's nature is consistent. Mm-hmm. So I'm going through this experience. Man, we were struggling financially. I mean, Pete and I, my wife, nickname is Pete. We were just struggling financially, looking in between the seats to get money to go out and eat. And somebody said one day in church, Pastor, you need to get your hair running down your neck. And I'm thinking, if you give me the money, I'll go get a haircut. I mean, we were struggling, okay? And so I was getting upset at God because of my experience. So I was bringing God down to the level of my experience. Whenever you base your relationship on human experience, you're going to fall out with him. You're going to be messed up because we have issues, we have challenges. And if you bring him down, so now I can feel things, I have challenges. Trust me, if you're leading people, the devil want to knock you out. So you got all kinds of stuff coming at you, all kinds of stuff. But I can be consistent with my relationship with God. I know God is for me. Amen. I know he's not trying to hurt me. I know he's not trying to get me. And I'm feeling some pain right now, Father. I'm feeling a little discomfort. I'm a little discouraged. I'm having this issue right now. But I know you love me. Amen. See, I'm never gonna lose that connection with him because I have a faith-based relationship with him. Does that make sense to anybody? Now listen to this, listen to this, listen to this. I've learned to operate from the known to the unknown, okay? And I tell people all the time that the Old Testament are types and shadows. So people want to tell me, Job this, this will happen to Job, and this will happen to Job. Well, see, I don't think I'm going to base my life on Job. Jesus says, he that has seen me has seen the Father. Amen. Not he that has seen Job has seen the Father. He said, he that has seen me. So I go from the known to the unknown. I go from James 1:17, every good gift, perfect gift, that's clear to me. I don't even need to have no dictionary, no concordance. No shadow turning. I don't need to have that. So I go from the unknown. So if there's some things I don't understand in the Old Testament, I ain't going to get all messed up about it because I know the Old Testament is types and shadows. Jesus came to show us the Father. He came to show what the Father's like, how the Father acts, what the Father desires. So what we need to do is look at Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, see what Jesus, how he thought, what he loved, what he hated, and then you follow God based off the known to the unknown. Does that make sense to anybody? Okay, now, that's the third key to a walk with God. And it, trust me, it'll keep you consistent. It'll keep you where you connected to God. You ain't separated from him at any time. The fourth key is developing, and it's consistent with the third key, developing a right concept of God. Developing a what?
Right concept.
Developing a what?
Right concept.
A right concept of God. Look at Hebrews 11, verse 6. Let's look at this. A right concept. It says, but without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a what?
Rewarder.
He is a?
Rewarder.
God is a?
Rewarder.
God is a
rewarder.
God is a
rewarder.
So God is a
rewarder.
God is a
rewarder.
God is a
rewarder.
Can anybody tell me what is a reward? Now don't be the slow class now. I ain't got but a few minutes. Don't be the slow class. Something that somebody gives to you in terms of recognition is a reward, right? So is a reward a benefit, or is it something that hurts you? It's a benefit. So the Bible said God is a
rewarder.
He's a what?
Rewarder.
He's a what?
Rewarder.
Look at John chapter 10, verse 10. You say, well, I don't know that verse, but let's look at it. Let's look at it. It says, the thief cometh not but to steal, to kill and destroy. Jesus says, I am come that you might
have.
I've 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 come that you might
have.
So Jesus says, I've come that you might
have.
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 You say, why you keep doing that? Why you keep reading children? Why you keep doing that? I've come that you might.
Have.
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 So we see right there that God is a rewarder, and Jesus came into the earth to not take away from us. He didn't come to take something from us. He came that we might have. So now in life, to walk with God, watch this now, I must have a right concept of God. I can't walk with him if I have a wrong concept of God. So I see in Scripture that God is a rewarder. I see in Scripture that God is a giver. He came that I might what? Now listen at this. You can't get close to God if you think he's a thief. You can't get close to God, watch this now, if you think he's the source of your pain. Why did you let this happen to me? Why did you, what? See, our pity party and we fall out because somehow we think God is really responsible. But we too spiritual to say that. We said, but you let it happen. So now watch this. When I'm feeling pain, I'm not going to run and jump in the lap of an abuser. If God is the source of my pain, I'm not going to run to him. That's why the devil wants you to think that God is the source of your pain. So you withdraw. I ain't going to church. I'm through with church. I don't think I want to go to church today. So I tell people all the time, when you have problems and challenges, watch this. You run to God. Don't run from him. You run to him. You run to church. You run to your prayer closet. You run to the Bible. People have loved ones that depart. Watch this now. And they sit at home. Well, I think I'm going to take a little break from church. Take a break. Take a break. And you just had a significant loved one to depart, and you're going to take a break? No, you're going to run to him. You're going to run to him because that's where your comfort is going to be. That's where your strength is going to be. That's where your help is going to be. So you don't ever withdraw from God. You run to God. But you're not going to run to God if you have the wrong concept. And there are many veterans like you, been saved a long time, you have a wrong concept of him. And religion did that to you. So we don't walk with him because we don't really trust him. Deep down inside, we're not sure you're not sure you're on my team. So we don't really walk with God. And then the last key to walking with God is to diligently pursue the giver and not the gift. Diligently what?
Pursue the giver.
And not the
gift.
Now let's look at Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6 again. Now I want you to get this, and then I'm going to ask you some questions and we'll be through. Because I want to find out what you heard tonight. Because this is a big one. This walking with God is, if I could say the most important one, I would say this is a big one. Because all the other stuff, the process and all the other things, is based on you having a relationship with God. This is about relationship. Now watch what it says. How many have ever heard that verse before? Okay. Now I want you to look at it like you never heard it before. Okay. But without faith, it's impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder. Now look at the latter part of that verse. He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Not diligently seek the gift. Diligently seek him. 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 That's why faith doesn't work for many Christians, because the only time they talk to him is when they need something. I believe I receive. They got the process down. I hear it. And we're going to talk about that. Hear it and believe it and confess it. And they got all the process down. And they try to work the mechanics. They're trying to work the mechanics. But they don't have a relationship with him. They're really not seeking him, to know him, to be close to him, to love on him. So they're like the kid. Watch this. How many parents here? You're gonna get this. Okay, watch this. Willie, you my little child. Come on. Now, this is my child. This is my baby right here. My baby. This is my firstborn son right here. He's 4 years old. He's a preteen. Okay, 11 years old. And every time he comes to me, he asks for something. Come on. Daddy, come on, talk real. They can't hear.
Okay. Daddy, can I have?
Now, go back over there. Now come back the next time.
Daddy, could I have some?
Go back over there. Come on.
Daddy, could I have some?
Okay, now parents, what do you think about that? What do you think about if your child, every time they said anything to you, is Daddy, can I have? Or Mama, can I have this? Come on, talk to me. What would you think?
I would think this being selfish and greedy.
You would think like, get out of my face, wouldn't you? Just be real with you. How many would feel kind of like you being used?
Yeah. Yeah.
You feel like your child is just selfish, right?
They
coming to you. The only time they come to you, they don't want to talk to you. They don't want to have no relationship with you. And the only time they come is when they want something. You would think they're just. But a child that comes up to you, like my little granddaughter. They always told me that grandkids were different. They different, I'm telling you, they different. They always told me that, but I didn't know until I experienced it. My little granddaughter, Megan makes me feel like she hadn't seen me in years. I can walk down the hall at church. I'm walking down the hall back to my office. And she looks at me, she said, Poppy. And she takes off running, Poppy. I mean, she does it every time, Poppy. And she just hugs me and put her head down. I be thinking, girl, you just don't know. You going, you in for something. And listen, oh, you in for something. I'm telling you, we already planning a Disney cruise. Hey, listen, I'm serious, we planning a Disney cruise. That girl is, let me tell you, she is up for something. She already got it. I told her the other day, and I said, baby, I hope you don't ever lose this. Poppy, I be like I've been on vacation or something. She ain't seen me. Poppy. She called Pete Gigi. Because, see, we said we don't want that grandmama and stuff like that. We fighting that agent with everything we got. Get out of here, you know. So she Gigi and I'm Poppy. And so she's running. That's the way God is. That's the way God is. He wants a relationship. He don't want a one-night stand. He don't want a one on and off again relationship. And I've been saying this. Now, I don't know where y'all go to church. I don't know where you go to church on Sundays. But when you go to church, be there on time. How many of y'all go to church on Sundays? Be on time. Be on time. Okay? Don't be dragging in. You're going to drag in. That's the only thing I don't like about my church. I love my church. I'm serious. I got a wonderful church. But I hate that. Man, we got that color CP time thing down. We got it down, baby. By the time some put that after the offering, she'll tell you this, she leave praise and worship. She'll tell you, bless their little heart. I be feeling so sorry for them sometimes. They stand up there. Floods of people come. They just as late coming in like this, just like that. Want that word, baby. I want that word, see. I want the word of God. By the time I get up, they all settle. But there's something about that. There's something about that. And I'm just sharing with you. It says that what I give God is really not that important. But I want the word to help me. So get your clothes ready. On Saturday nights. Don't get up on Sunday trying to get your clothes ready. Get your clothes, get things ready on Sunday because you're going to church on Sunday, and be at church on time so that when worship is going, you're ready there, ready to worship your Father. You're ready to give Him something because you're going to be seeking Him and not just the gift. Does that make sense? Can I suggest one thing for you, and then I'm going to ask you a couple of questions. I shared this with my congregation in Birmingham, and I want to suggest this for you. Now, I know some of you are veterans. You probably got your own quiet time. But you need to have a personal quiet time where you spend time with God, just you and God. This is not you and God with your wife, you and God with your husband. I'm not against that. I'm not against you having your Bible study together. I'm not against that. But you need to have a period of time where it's just you and God. At least try this, at least 35 minutes every day. Try to give God at least 35 minutes every day. 20 minutes, you can spend 20 minutes in the Word and 15 minutes praying. It is about the length of a sitcom. If you will do that for at least 4 days a week, 35 minutes a day, 20 minutes in the Word, reading the Scriptures, 15 minutes just talking with God, spending time with God for at least 4 days a week, it will change your life. Because you will discover that God will start meeting you. He will be waiting on you. He will be waiting on you. It'd be like, man, God wakes me up sometime in the night. I only want to get up. I really don't be wanting to get up, but He wakes me up sometime at night, wakes me up in the early in the morning. And sometimes He'll just shake you and wake you up. And it's almost like, hey. Let's get together. Let's spend some time because He knows in our day a lot of times we're going to be so busy that we're not going to have the time. How many are going to try to do it? How many just try? 35 minutes every day, 20 minutes in the Word, 15 minutes in prayer for at least 4 days a week. Try that for 1 year and see is it what you will experience, because in that 35 minutes, you're going to be seeking Him. You ain't going to be asking for nothing. You ain't going to be, you're just going to be spending time with Him. Will you do that?